Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. We have, over the last couple of weeks, been looking at the topic of the Lord, what the Lord was trying to change in our minds. We looked at the last week, particularly before his crucifixion. But now I'm looking at a very specific topic that is underlying everything that the Lord did here on earth. And the question is, who is Jesus? Who is he? Is he God? Is he human? Is he a human God? Who is Jesus? If we go back into the time of Jesus' coming, we will read a scripture about who the people thought he was. With the coming of the new church, the Lord has revealed to us a lot more about who he is. And so today I want to take you on a journey that perhaps is going to be difficult. It's going to require some mental gymnastics. It's going to require us to stretch our minds. But we will start in the scripture and we will build onto that an idea of who is Jesus. So I hope that you come with me on this journey. Answering this question of who is Jesus has been around for thousands of years. And even for those who have a fairly firm idea of who Jesus might be, from a new church perspective, it's often difficult to go back to Scripture and wrestle with Scripture again. So hopefully you can all join me on this journey to discover how Jesus was trying to change our minds about who he was. Let's start with the scripture. You can follow along in your pew card. We're reading from Matthew 16. So when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." On this rock I will build my church. And what is the rock? The Son of the living God. When the Lord asks the disciples who they thought he was, the disciples answered, "The Son of the living God." Now the disciples mentioned what other people thought he was. Other people thought that perhaps he was just a prophet, a great prophet. But the Lord was trying to change the disciples' minds, change the people's minds, to move from just being a prophet to the next step, the Son of the living God. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that we believe that Jesus was somehow connected with God? Faith in a human being is not faith. But faith in God is a real faith. We aren't here on earth to follow a prophet. No matter how good their teaching is, we're not here to worship and to follow people. Our faith is not built on what people think is the truth. Our faith must be built on the Lord, must be built on His truth. And that's the only faith that there is, a faith built on the Lord. Anything else is not faith. So for the Lord, it was important that the disciples understood that there was God involved in this equation. But he said, this is the rock upon which I will build my church. The rock being a truth. Whenever the writers of Scripture talk about a rock, they're talking about a truth, an idea that is strong, an idea that you can build on. We think of the wise man who built his house on the rock. The Lord is saying, on this truth, I will build my church. And so the starting point for anyone who is entering into faith, entering into the church, is the idea that somehow the Lord is the Son of God. It's an important first step, but it is only a foundation. The Lord wants us to build onto that, to bring in more ideas and fill up the idea of who He is. Often we hear that idea that Jesus is the Son of God, and we stop there. And we see throughout the Christian history, we've stopped there, and we haven't gone any further. And the problem with stopping on that idea that Jesus is the Son of God is that we read other parts of Scripture, and things don't all fit together. Over here we see God is one, and over here we see the Holy Spirit, and we see Jesus as the Son, and we see the Father, and we can't get everything to fit together. The Lord wants us to start with an idea and to build onto it. So when we go to Scripture and we read a Scripture like Deuteronomy, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, that the Lord your God is one." Or we go to Mark, where Jesus says exactly the same thing. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." We know where the Lord wants us to end up. We know that the Lord wants us to end up with one full idea of God. But He knows that we can't just start there. And for a reason, He has given us some place to start. The idea that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a starting point on which we build more and more ideas until we can come to the idea and the belief that God is one. And so this is the journey that I hope to start with you today. I by no means expect by the end of this today that you're going to know and understand exactly how God is one. It has puzzled Christians for thousands of years. So I'm going to present it, think about it, puzzle it, ask questions about it, continue to learn, continue to fill the idea more and more until you can reach the goal of one God. So I'd like to start filling this idea, building on this idea. Jesus is the Son of the living God. What does that little verse tell us? It tells us that God is the source of all life. And I think that's something that generally Christians can all agree on. God is the source of all life. God is love. Love is the source of all life. Love is the source of all the things that we do in our life. Right? So we recognize that principle, that love is the source of all life. And that Jesus is the Son. That there is a connection somehow between our idea of Jesus as human to the idea of God. But now, one of the things that is hard for the Lord to get us to understand is His infinity. Okay. We as human beings are stuck in time and space. We are born and we die. Things happen according to time. We cannot time travel. We cannot see all things. But God is outside of time and space. And that for our finite created minds is very difficult to comprehend. But in theory, we can know God is outside of time and space. He sees all things. He knows all things. He is all-powerful. And if we look around at creation, we can see how the Lord infills that life into everything in this universe. We look around at all the stars. We look around at all the grains of sand, all the snowflakes, all the everything. Every human being is different. Everything in this world is unique. No two things are the same. And if we just think about that, the hairs on the head, the grains of sand, nothing is the same. And yet, with all that variety, with all those different things, still, the Lord's infinity cannot be contained. So God is this immense, out of our understanding. So how does the Lord try and bring Himself to us? How does the Lord go from what is infinite to something that we can grasp? He uses our lives. He uses time and space. He uses people and places. He uses a history of the children of Israel. He uses the history of His life. He uses revelation to tell us little bits, little aspects of His life, of who He is as God. There is no one idea that can hold in its fullness who God is. And so when we look at Scripture, one of the things that we need to do is to remove ourselves from the people, remove ourselves from the places, remove ourselves from time, remove ourselves from space, and then consider what the Scriptures are trying to tell us. What do I mean by this? Let's take, for example, that relationship that is so often mentioned of Son and Father. Son and Father. We can get caught up in our time and our space, in people and in place. We can think of a Son and we can think of a Father. We are all children. We know that relationship. But we can get stuck into thinking of Jesus as a person and God the Father as a person. The Lord asks us to remove time and space, remove people and places from our thinking. And what that does is it just leaves us with a relationship. Let's not think about people, but two things are relating to each other, not people. If we think about God, from whom all life flows, whom is love itself, what relates to that in the same way, say, a father and a son would relate? What comes from love, like a son comes from a father? What is connected to a father, like a son is connected to a father? And as we think in those terms, love is connected to wisdom. The same way a father is connected to a son. One is the source and one flows from that. Love is the source and wisdom flows from that. And so when we think about Jesus and we think about Scripture, we need to remove the person and think about the deeper qualities that the Lord is trying to teach us about Himself. God, love, and Son, wisdom. And that the two are one. If we take that idea of love and wisdom that make up God, we can see that same thing in ourselves. It's love that drives each one of us. We love to do things in our lives. We don't always love to go to work, but we do things in our life. We interact with people that we love. Love is the driving force. Even selfish love is a driving force. I love money, therefore I'll go to work. But love drives us. And wisdom tells the love how, or expresses that love. Right? We couldn't go to work unless we knew how to work. We couldn't love our family unless we knew how to love our family. Love by itself can't be expressed. Wisdom is that expression of love. Wisdom is the expression of love in our lives, but also in the Lord. If we take those ideas and we go back to Scripture, then we can start to see how that relationship between love and wisdom works. Jesus says, and we read in our recitation, my Father's will be done. I'm not here for my own will, I'm here for my Father's will. Referring back to that relationship between wisdom and love. It is love that is the purpose. Love is that driving force. Why do we do anything? We're doing it because of what we love. So Jesus expresses that relationship between wisdom and love. I'm here to do what is loving, what is caring. So there are many places, once we lift our minds up above relationships of people and place and time and space, and lift up to wisdom and love, that Scripture starts to make more sense. My Father and I are one. Wisdom and love are one. We can't have one without the other. You are not two people because you have love and you have wisdom. That makes you one person. So Jesus, throughout Scripture, is trying to draw our attention and explain in earthly ways a relationship that exists between or inside of Himself. A relationship that exists within each one of us. But we start on the outside. We start with an earthly idea. We start with the idea that Jesus is the Son of God, because it's a relationship we can understand. But the Lord says, build on that. I want to change your minds. I'm not just a person. Jesus was not just a person. Jesus was not just a prophet. Is it helpful to have Jesus as a person? Absolutely. Right? We can see people. We can interact with people. We can imagine ourselves speaking to the Lord as a person because He showed Himself to us. It's important that we have this image of a person. But He is not a person like you and me. He's not earthly. He's not physical. What the Lord was working throughout His life was to take what He took on, this natural life, and to perfect it. To put off everything that was of this world, so that when He was risen, He was perfectly God. Nothing of the worldliness, of the earthliness remained. Everything, even down to His body, He had put off and made it divine. And so when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen God, we are seeing the face of God. We are seeing God in love and in wisdom present in this world. That is the essence of who Jesus is. It's important that we see Him as a person so that we can worship Him, that we can pray to Him, that we can talk to Him. But the Lord wants us to build onto that, to fill into that idea, the idea of all love, all wisdom present in this world. All love, all wisdom present in those true ideas that we learn from His Word. Every single truth contains within it all the Lord's love, all the Lord's wisdom. And so hopefully, if you don't already understand God as one, that you take on a journey. Take on a journey today. How do we bring this idea? How do I grow my idea, my thinking of Jesus, starting with the idea of a human that's somehow connected to God? Where can I study? How can I grow? How can I get to that idea that the Lord is after, that fullness where He is one, our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer, one God? That's probably the biggest thing that the Lord came to change in our minds and is continually working on in our minds, growing us, changing us so that we can see the fullness, as Paul puts it, he says, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in a body. That's the perfect description. The fullness of the God dwelling physically in a body. So I invite you on a journey of discovery for yourselves, help those around you, speak to your kids about it. How do we grow and change our idea of who God is so that we can get to the one God of heaven and earth? Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, there are many things that you teach us in your word that are hard, hard to understand, hard to put into practice, hard to teach. But Lord, you are always with us. You are guiding us. You are teaching us. And Lord, what you ask from us is simply our participation. If we can work with you, if we can work alongside your scripture, learning from it every day, reading and trying to ask where this is leading, how this is leading, to whom is this leading? Lord, we thank you for your scriptures. It is through your scriptures that you make yourself known to us and you make known the path that leads to life. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.